Chapter 8, The Lolita Story. You know, when I was a stockbroker, I liked everything about the job except for the actual work. I liked dressing up in a Brooks Brothers suit. I liked wearing a shirt right out of the cleaners. I liked the right tie. I liked the right new shiny black shoes. I liked the way I looked, and I liked the way I felt. I liked the image that I portrayed. I felt like a big shot, even though I was anything but. I was such a good actor that I even fooled myself. I actually thought that I was some big successful guy. But in actuality, I owned nothing. I had no money in the bank, and I was lousy at my job. But that didn't stop me. I looked good. I looked successful, and even believed that I was successful. And because of that, I think others believed it too, just looking at me. And as far as picking up a girl in a bar on Division Street, I didn't have to because they picked me up. Anyway, one day after work, I'm drinking alone at a sort of French-style stand-up bar right off of Division Street, which is Chicago's version of Party Town, and where everybody meets for a cocktail or 10 after work. And I'm standing there having my drink and minding my own business when the waiter approaches me and says, "Excuse me, sir, the lady over there asked me to give you this." And it was a cocktail napkin with a kiss mark on it. I mean, a real kiss mark from her lipstick lips. And under the kiss mark was written something in French like, "Mon chéri amour." And so I looked over to where he was pointing, and lo and behold, standing there was the hottest girl I'd ever seen looking at me and smiling. So I went over to her and we introduced ourselves. And eventually we ended up getting turned on and wanting each other. So we headed over to my place and did what was natural. And she ended up sleeping over, and I was head over heels. What can I say? Anyway, we ended up going out for several weeks or so until she decided to move to LA to become a movie star. Her name, by the way, was, and I'm sure still is, Lolita Davidovich. You may have heard of her as she starred opposite Paul Newman in a movie called Blaze, which I didn't become privy to until around 7 years later in 1990 when laying around my apartment in Bangkok, recuperating from a very serious motorcycle accident, which I had recently had. Lolita was working mostly as a lingerie model for companies like Sears and doing very well at it. And in her off hours, she studied acting. And as a matter of fact, I remember she came over to my place one night, and she had a book with her, a play, if I'm not mistaken. And she gives me one part to read, and she read her part, and she wanted to work on her acting skills. And that little scene that I did with her was my very first exposure to acting. And I mention that because not long after meeting Lolita, I would quit the brokerage business and start modeling and studying acting myself in Chicago. Anyway, I really fell in love with her. And with yours truly, love sort of meant control, or better yet, own. And so I got it in my head one day that we needed to get more serious about this relationship of ours and start seeing more of each other from now on, and maybe even live together. And so I called her up, and I was just about to lay down the law, but before I could get a word out, she said to me something like, "Brad, I was just about to call you and tell you that my agent and I are moving to Hollywood next week to attempt to make it in the acting business, so I won't be seeing you anymore." And I was like, "Huh?" Well, so much for my ownership of this very sexy new lady in my life, who in about 5 minutes was going to be out of my life. I really don't remember a whole lot of details about our relationship, but I do remember that we went to Michigan one time, maybe to the beach for some sort of holiday type deal. And when we returned, we went to a Simon and Garfunkel concert at Comiskey Park, where the Chicago White Sox play. And I looked up the date of that concert, and it was July 24th, 1983. So that's when all of this took place. Oh, and by the way, what a concert it was. I found out that day that Simon and Garfunkel certainly weren't overrated whatsoever, and in fact took my breath away. So that was that. Well, until a few months later anyway, and you won't believe this part of the story. Shit, I can hardly believe it myself as I type these words out almost 40 years after the fact. As I had mentioned prior, right after I quit the brokerage business, I myself started modeling in Chicago, and I pretty much had success right off the bat. I mean, I went to a few castings for print ads, and I got them, and those ended up being full-page ads in the Chicago Tribune, for Christ's sakes. What an ego trip for a phony like me. Anyway, one day, I arrive at a studio to do a modeling job for Sears, which in those days was the biggest retail in Chicago, if not the United States. And when I got to the set, there were two bicycles standing there, one for me and one for the female model that hadn't shown up yet. So we're all just sitting around waiting for the female model to show up, as she was a bit late. And she finally shows up, and to my great shock and disbelief, it's Lolita Davidovich herself, back from LA for a visit and doing a modeling job with me. I mean, think about it. What are the odds of this happening? When she left Chicago for LA, I was a stockbroker with no intention of quitting that job, and a few months later, we're doing the modeling job together. The man upstairs, no doubt, had this all planned out. So anyway, we took our positions on the bikes, and the photographer begins shooting away. And Lolita looks at me smiling and says to me something like, "I told you this was easy money." She may not recall much of this, but I can assure you that that's pretty much the way it went down. And Lolita, in case you ever happen to stumble across this book, you may look at this as kiss and tell and in bad taste on my part, but I don't. Far from it, in fact. I look at it as just being human. Of course, in my case, I don't really give a rat's ass what people or society think of me. I care about what I think of me. And by the way, it's not all that highly. End of chapter.